we're getting into the busy holiday season. It's time for get-togethers, shopping, and because it's such a frenzied time, we're more apt to be losing things. And Marianne has been looking into some savvy tips on how to find lost objects. Okay, I can't wait to hear this.
I know. But Bob, you know me. I mean, so this is actually a private joke between us, because every time I lose anything, you know, the first thing I do is I say a prayer to Saint Anthony. You had no idea who Saint Anthony was. And I remember in Europe at some church one day pointing out his statues
right
to you.
Yeah.
So what I do is I say, "Dear Saint Anthony, please come around. Something's been lost and it can't be found." And then it shows up.
Yes, and I've been a witness to that. But is St. Anthony on duty all the time, even through the holidays?
Who knows? But there are some skills you can acquire to find things in a more strategic way, okay? So that's what I've been looking at. It's having a methodical way of doing it. People who have done research on this, and I tell you, there are people who study this, including detectives, visual psychologists,
wow,
is what they call themselves, and even these experts who use metal detectors. They say that there's a science and an art to finding all your lost objects.
Now, is this going to help us remember where we put our keys?
Well, supposedly this works for anything that you might lose. So hear me out. Listen to these expert strategies for finding missing objects. And some of them are common sense, okay? So, but this can just serve as a reminder to you.
Let's hear it. Okay?
Because really, panic sets in if it's something really valuable, too.
Sure.
And panic, anxiety. So just remember some of these things if you can. Okay, the first thing is identify what makes your missing object stand out in its environment. I think that my brain just automatically does that, but it could be the size, the color, the texture, the shape, and then look for it based only on that. So it'll make the process faster and more efficient. And so instead of looking at everything in a space, you focus your attention only on things that have those distinctions that your object has.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you lose the back of an earring on a carpet that's similar in color, change your visual strategy and look for anything that is shiny and reflective instead of just trying to find the whole back of the earring.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know what I'm talking about?
You visualize, and I get that.
No. Look for look for other aspects of it. Instead of just looking at the rug, look for something that is shiny, because that is the only thing about it that's different from the rug. Do you know what I'm saying?
Kind of.
Okay, we'll move on to number two.
All right.
I wonder if other people know what I'm saying. I think so. All right, so think about likely scenarios of how and why your object might have gotten lost in the first place. And, you know, obviously where it might be. So this one metal detecting enthusiast who's part of this, you know, whole study, and he helps clients find their missing jewelry in challenging places like parks and beaches and roads. And he starts with the basics. And of course, I mean, what better than to get a guy with a metal detector to help you look for your stuff in a park? But the first thing he does is he asks, do you have any locations where you put it normally? Where have you lost it before? Because that's a key also. Then think through any specific situations that may have prompted you to lose your object in the first place. Like if you lose a ring, he will ask, did you throw anything away that day?
Oh.
And were you dealing with cold water? Did you put lotion on somewhere? So those questions can help you figure out a more targeted strategy of where to look.
Yeah, that would be something to remember to do for sure.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is recreate the moment, the movement of the object around the area you first remember losing it. So the way an object falls, lands, or moves as you act out the scene, it could provide a good clue. I do that all the time. Like, if I lose an earring, I will take my other earring and I'll just drop it to see where it lands.
Mm-hmm.
So this metal detector guy was helping a woman find a ring she thought she threw out the window by mistake. So he took a cheap ring and he tied a string to it, and he asked her to throw it out in the same way. And each time she threw it out the window, it didn't go out the window, but it went flying into the back seat. And that's how he found her ring.
You know what? That's really good. I've done that, too. I've actually tried to recreate dropping something in the area where I lost something. See where it goes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you find it? St. Anthony found it for you.
Somebody did.
All right. So the next one is change your perspective. And I mean literally. So professional finders, like search and rescue responders, they scan their environment in 360 degrees. That means you look down, you look up, you look left, you look right, and then crouch down to change your perspective. Like, don't just look at it from standing.
Mm-hmm.
So also turning around to view things that weren't visible when you first approached them. Like, for example, if you're looking for a windbreaker that you took off because it was hot, it could have been picked up by the wind and blown into a bush or a tree. Because, you know, things can move if you're outside.
Yeah,
usually.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then look in weird and unexpected areas. So if you can't find your keys in the places where you normally leave them, your purse, your pocket, the entryway table near the front door. And, Bob, this is especially, you know, for you because you're always mad at me because I don't leave it where it's supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
So force yourself to look in low-probability areas. Like, you may have mindlessly put them somewhere else, like in the kitchen cabinet or dropped them.
Yeah, or in the refrigerator. Yeah, in the freezer. Yeah.
In the freezer.
Yeah, I've done that.
How many times? Listen, you really remember this because the only kitchen job that you have besides trash is to empty the dishwasher. Half the time, you don't even know where you put things. So
I go on autopilot.
All right. So the last tip here is to divide everything up into a grid search and look in, you know, within each square of that grid so that you have a strategic way of doing it.
Yeah, I think the police do that. I think I saw that on CSI. What's on Savvy Planet this week?
Well, Bob, you know how much I love walnuts, especially this time of year. They're so healthy for us. And I put them in everything, salads. But how many times have I burnt them recently?
Yeah, many.
Every time. So I had to find a recipe to guide me so that they would come out perfect, and they have, and that's what's on Savvy Planet.
Subscribe, SavvyPlanet.com. You put a hyphen between Savvy and Planet. Marianne sends out recipes every week, and you can join her Savvy community, SavvyPlanet.com. I love the clementines you put in those salads, too. So don't lose the recipe.
So
don't lose that,
okay.
Marianne.
I won't.
Thank you.